don't know if I really love this decision.
Over the middle, got his man, and look at him go! Jalen Waddle for the touchdown!
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience.
Tua Tagovailoa, blocked by Armstead. Going, he's got him! He's got him! Tyreek Hill! And the Dolphins have come back!
A big play on the first one! Home run! Play one! To the house! What a start for the Dolphins!
That's Inside Leverage.
We always gonna put on a show, baby. That's what we do.
But I need some Georgia, boy. I need a dog that can get on the back of a goddamn dolphin and ride. I need some SEC dogs. Listen, it's all about trench warfare. Give me an SEC dog.
Hey, French, hold on. We got our guest here.
You gonna scare the guests?
Look what you just walked into, buddy.
I mean, I get the message. He wants a damn dog, bro.
He does. Oh, man. That was great. Well, I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome, was it Damon?
Yeah, Damon, man.
Damon. All right. I want to butcher your name.
Like a little twang. It's Damon.
All right, man. Welcome. Appreciate you taking your time here. Why don't you share with all our viewers what a little background about yourself?
Oh, man. So I own NFL Draft Diamonds. I've been scouting for too long. And it started off with HBCU football players, scouting FAMU and Bethune-Cookman and the little schools here in Florida. And it took off into scouting every single small school football player in the country, it feels like. So that's kind of like what we do, is try to find the diamonds in the rough, try to help the small school football player get their name out there, get their word out there, and tell their story and share their film. We break down film. We do a bunch of different things. And then recently my company was hired as the scouting staff of the Hula Bowl. So we are now doing all the scouting for the Hula Bowl, bringing the guys in, bringing them to the All-Star game. And that's me, man, in a nutshell.
That's great. So, we got obviously the draft. I know you've been doing, some of your research or what. Is anybody sticking out for you? I don't know. I mean, you can pick a position. There's so many positions to pick from. So I'll let you ride with it.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about it, because I just wanted to get this off my chest. Like, I'm a diehard Buffalo Bills fan, so it doesn't hurt me to hold up.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate
everyone.
You.
Wow.
I wanted to tell you guys something. I actually respect y'all. I respect the Dolphins, okay, man. I respect Tua. I respect what you guys have. But I'll talk about your needs, because I feel like, if we're going to talk about this, that's what your people are going to want to hear about. They're not going to want to hear about just the best players. They want to hear about dudes that can turn the Dolphins around. And if you guys have looked in the past couple drafts, you guys have taken a Hula Bowl player. You guys took Kader Kohu a couple years ago. Kohu's balling out. He's a guy that we brought into the Hula Bowl that really nobody was even talking about. Ended up being a star his rookie year. You guys brought in last year Julian Hill from Campbell University. That was my sleeper. If you go and you look and you go and you take back everything that I've ever said on Twitter and you go back and take the screenshots, you're going to see that I was in love with Julian Hill. So you guys actually found a diamond of mine. He was underutilized at that level at Campbell. And he's been he's a great blocking tight end, and you guys have utilized him pretty well. He's been starting, coming into games. I've watched him. I'm a big fan, but I think your guys' biggest needs interior line. And I think, if we're really looking at it, I mean, you guys are losing a bunch of players in free agency. Your interior line is rough. You need people with versatility. You need people that can play the guard and the tackle position. You need centers that are versatile enough, because you don't know who's going to pan out. So in the draft, you need to go heavy. Number one, you can, if look at what Raheem Mostert did with kind of a sad line. Like, I'm not trying to there's no disrespect here, but your guys' line was not great. And he was still putting up multi-digit touchdowns. Tua has more time. If you can protect him, he's not going to get concussed. The opportunity for him to throw the ball deeper down the field is going to be there. You need to protect him. So in my opinion, interior O-line, some guys that I think are interior O-line guys later in the draft, everybody can pick in the beginning of the draft, but it's the late guys that really matter to me. I think a guy like Nick Gargiulo from South Carolina, he adds so much versatility. He is a guy that just got invited to the Hula Bowl, or he was at the Hula Bowl, just got a combine invite from there. He was a Yale kid. Now, at Yale, you guys are probably like, what in the world? Like, I've never even heard of this kid, maybe. Well, he's a 6'4", 6'5" center, but he can play every position on the O-line. He's played tackle, right tackle, left tackle, guard, left guard, right guard, and center. That versatility for a player like that, to be able to throw him, if you have an injury mid-game, he can come in and fill in any role. That is a player that you want to add late in the draft that has that versatility where you can just plug and play right away. I think a player like Nick would be an amazing player. We had a couple players at our game like Matthew Jones from Ohio State. The dude was a road grader. He was probably one of the best offensive linemen we had at the Hula Bowl. He was mean as hell. He was a bigger dude. He would just drive his opponents far off the ball. I think he'd be a great pickup for the Dolphins, and I think he fits that scheme to where their offensive line can mold him the way they want him. Within 2 years, he'll probably end up being a high-caliber offensive lineman for the Dolphins, and I think he could push himself into a Pro Bowl-type position. You need a mauler on the interior. French, you had a question for me? I seen that finger go up.
Yeah, damn, I don't mean to stop you on that, but let me as I'm listening to you speak, what separates – because I'm also looking at some of the comments on Twitter – and I definitely want to respect the HBCU guys. And even with my comments prior to you coming in, talking about the K-State guys versus the Georgia guys, what in your mind separates the HBCU guys who maybe just went there for multitude of reasons versus the K-State, the Dukes, the teams that high IQ guys, but not, you know, necessarily the athletes jumping off the screen that might go to a Georgia? What separates those three categories of offensive linemen, specifically when you talk about the interior pressure, in your opinion?
So first off, if we're looking, it doesn't matter what level you play at. Either you're going to be dominant in what you do, and you're going to be able to attack a football player, a defensive player, you're going to be able to drive them off the ball, or you're just not. And if you look, I think the speed of the players around them and the players of the size of the offensive lineman is the biggest difference in college football. When you start moving levels, when you start moving at the D3, D2 levels, the MEAC, the SWAC, when you start looking at them, the offensive linemen aren't as big. As you get into the FBS, these dudes are 6'9", 320 pounds. They're massive. They're wingspans are 34, you know what I mean? Their wingspan, their arm is 34, the wingspans are 86. And it's like, we have, like, this year, I think the longest wingspan of any player, and I think we'll see it at the combine, is probably Aneem Donkwa from Howard. The dude's got like an 86, 87 inch wingspan. So it's not that they don't have it, they have it, but they're untapped potential. They're raw, they haven't played football a long time. Donkwa's from Canada, so you got a Canadian dude that's coming in who's really never really played a lot of football. And then you're putting him up against the guy who's played, 40 games at Michigan. I mean, it's not close. I mean, the level of competition, number one, is not there. And then not only level of competition, it's what they're capable of. What's the kick step look like? How athletic is he? Can he be molded into something that's bigger and better or stronger? And I think that he has that build. He has the ability to put the weight on him, to cut him up, to make him cut up. You got to remember something, HBCUs, no disrespect to HBCUs, but a lot of them are feeding kind of garbage. They don't have personal chefs in packages, programs where they're getting training all day. And look at Ed Reed. When Ed Reed came up to Bethune for that little short period, he was like, what in the hell? Where is everything? Like, what's going on? He's used to Miami having all those benefits. And then you go into a factor where you don't have it. And then you go into a school where They don't have nothing like that. So when you're looking at that situation, I think that at the end of the day, it's resources, number one. And then number two, it's just the molding, because they're not getting the same coaching as other guys. But as far as like, can they play at the next level? No, it's all, that's going to be all between the ears or your heart. I mean, that's going to determine whether a kid can play at the next level. It's how bad you want it.
I completely agree. The athleticism and all the traits, they're always there. It's all about the part of it, mainly is the mental. Going into the defensive side, because we have a guy in Christian Wilkins who likely might not be here, but we have a guy in Sealer who has shown up 10 sacks, 10 and a half sacks this past season. We might need to get a number two to replace Christian. Who in your mind at the Hula Bowl kind of stand out to you that might fit our scheme, a 3-4, or just a multi, just a versatile D interior defensive line?
A kid by the name of Christian Boyd, UNI, Northern Iowa.
The kid,
that's Christian Wilkins. I mean, he's a younger, faster, stronger, probably all the way around. He's the same guy. You can probably get him in the fifth, sixth round. He's gritty. He was taught by Bryce Pop. I mean, Bryce Pop was his coach at UNI. I mean, the guy has had great training. His coach talks praises of him. He went from our game, goes to the East-West Shrine game, ends up winning off our defensive MVP at the game. I mean, he's just a workhorse. And I mean, people get caught up in the traits too much. People are like, oh, he's only 6'1". He's got 31-inch arms. Listen, 31-inch arms. Did you see what he did to the offensive lineman in the East-West? He ripped that sumbitch so bad. It was horrible. He had him on the ground. I was like, man, like, I knew why I took him. I mean, he's filthy. So I knew what I was getting. But to be able to see a guy like him come into the Miami Dolphins, dude, Sealers, that's a small schooler. That's a small school dog. No one wrote.
Whitewater. What's funny was I went to Mount Union College, now university, and that's their rival. So I thought that was really cool that, you know, Sealer coming from a rival that school that I used to go to when I played ball. So that was interesting.
Yeah, kid's an animal, man. He's a big old boy. He never stops. Motor doesn't stop. Listen, man, there's something about those chip players, those dudes that have that chip on their shoulder. They got it. They have to work. I mean, I always tell everybody, I feel bad for some of these bigger all-star games because they got to go out and get the top talent, and you got to make sure they hit. How many first rounders don't hit every year? I mean, we see it go in and out, and they're calling them bust by year two, and they're doing this, and you just wasted a high draft pick when if you don't hit on them late rounders, that's what it counts. I mean, that's really what it comes down to in those undrafted guys, because they're the ones that play snaps. 37% of the league was undrafted last year. That's a high number.
Yeah, it is a high number.
Yeah.
And with us, we only have a first, a second, a fifth, 2 sixths, and a seventh. So we're going to need to hit, unless we trade back and accumulate more draft assets, we're going to definitely need to hit on those later round guys and have them be able to contribute, hopefully early. Not day one, but, you know, year one, hopefully, right? But so outside of Christian Boyd, were there any other standout defensive linemen that you guys came across at the Hula Bowl?
Of course, man. There's tons of football players down here, but there's a kid by the name of Eric Watts. He's more of a D end edge rusher. He ended up getting called up the Senior Bowl from UConn. He's just so damn raw and so athletic and just a human, like a great human. He's another guy that just like he comes off the ball so fast. He has the explosives. He's flashy. So when you watch film, he's not always there. But if you're bringing in a rotational guy, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a flashy guy in a rotation. You want somebody that's going to go get it. The Bills have a player like that, AJ Epenesa. You know, like he's a flashy guy. Like you watch him in college, he would flash. He'd get a sack here or there. He'll have his flash plays. But if you use him every play, he's going to get smoked. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that about Watts. Watts has a little bit more raw athleticism than Epenesa would. But I think, like, if you're looking at a D-line position, I think it just depends. Are you guys going to stay sticking at that in a 3-4? Are you going to go to a 4-3? Are you going to go to the hybrid? Are they going to bring in more linebackers? There was another kid
I think we'll be base nickel kind of similar to you guys. I mean, if we get Leslie Frazier, you know what that –
Oh, well, yeah, I hope you guys don't get him. He's a really good coach. But yeah. I mean, then I just got to face you twice a year. But I have to face you anyway, so, I mean, it don't matter. But I'll give you another couple guys that really had a great week at the Hula Bowl that were D-line. One is Jawan Briggs. That dude is just he's very similar to Julian Hill, just like a humble dude. He's married, has kids. He came in with, like, he was the first person to fill out his paperwork, the first person to arrive in the Hula Bowl, first person to get on the football field. He was the first person to say hello to everybody. That's the type of football player that makes a football roster for a long period of time and continues, because he's just a classy professional, and teams will love him and people will give him opportunities all the time. And the crazy thing is, we do interviews with our players. And when you ask our offensive linemen, like, who's the toughest guy you face? They're like, Jawan Briggs. Because the dude just doesn't stop. He's got the Energizer Bunny mode. Another guy that was really awesome off the edge was Solomon Boyd from USC. That kid is more of an edge rusher. He has the fastest spin move I think I've ever seen in a college football player, just coming off of an edge. It's explosive. I don't know how he does it. But just seeing those type of things, I mean, the Hula Bowl was an awesome event. 50 of our players got called up to another game. We have over 17 combine invites right now. So, I mean, I think our staff, big ups to them, because they did a great job scouting, putting together scouting reports. We wrote 750 scouting reports. So we put in the work and give them a lot of credit, because they're the ones that did a lot of it. So big up to them.
Wally, you got something? You still with us?
I'm with you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. That Watts kid. I'm going back to that Watts kid. I think he's a great fifth to sixth rounder, man. He has draw power. I was watching him in the senior bowl. So I'm really intrigued by him, man. Is there any little running backs you got out there? Any high point wide receivers you got for us?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, in our game, I think Tyrone Tracy was an interesting prospect. He was a former wide receiver that converted to running back. He played at Iowa and then transferred to Purdue. He ended up getting a Shrine game after our game. He can catch the damn football, man. He's just so explosive and can catch the football. He just got a combine invite. Out of the running backs coming out in that draft class, I would say Dylan Laube at the senior bowl, the kid from New Hampshire. He's got great hands. He's a really shifty white boy. He can catch the ball.
Yes.
He's an interesting prospect.
Danny Woodhead type.
Yeah.
He can catch the ball. He's got some deficiencies, but he may not be the fastest kid in the world. But man, if you watch his film at New Hampshire, the kid's he just makes plays. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's in the return game or receiving or running, he scores touchdowns. And you want players like that. I'm a huge fan of Monster. I mean, that kid to me is one of the best football players in the NFL. He's one of the best professionals. He's been that way since he's came in the league. He's had to fight adversity. I love that. I love him. I wish he wasn't on your team. I wish he was on my team, but he's a great football player. So, I mean, I hope you're not trying to replace your running back. That's all I'm going to say.
We think that we could use a different element in the backfield. I mean, with Mostert and Etienne, it's a little redundant with the skill set. I mean, Etienne provides maybe a little bit more as a receiver in the future, maybe not right now, but I think you can develop that aspect a little bit more with Etienne. But with Chris Brooks, he was a power back, lower undrafted kind of type of guy that we brought in that had some ability. I just don't know if they're going to lean on him. But if they do, I just feel like the issue for me is Jeff Wilson and kind of getting someone better, that if Mostert was to miss some time or Etienne to get a little banged up, you could have someone that you could depend on and trust to contribute in a variety of ways. And if he is sitting on the bench like a Dylan Lobb, at least he can be a punt return to maybe contribute. You know what I mean? That's all we're looking for, just someone to contribute, but not replace. Not right now.
Well, in that case, sure. But I will say, if it was me, I think you guys have a bigger need at tight end, a pass catching tight end that can spread the field than another running back. And the reason I say that, Chris Brooks, by the way, Hula Bowl. Yeah, that's right, Hula Bowl. He was a Hula Bowl prospect as well. So when it comes down to that, I think, listen, if you want a late tight end that's going to be sleeping because no one's going to talk about this kid. Eric All. Check him out. He's been injured. No one's talking about
him. Iowa kid, right?
Yep, he's been sleeping. That kid is going to be an animal, and no one's talking about him because he's been injured. He's been sitting out. I have a feeling that kid will end up being a big-time receiving threat for a team. They just got to take the risk to – he's not going to be 100%. He might take a little bit of time to heal. But if you're looking for a late-round addition, that's a guy.
What was his injury?
You would ask me that now. I think it's a knee. Don't hold it. Hold me to it. But he got hurt near the end of the year. And when that happened, obviously it took him out of the All-Star game circle. So no one's talking about him right now. They're talking about other players like Isaac Rex and different people that have stepped up in place, but they forgot about him and he just kind of fell off the map. And every year a player like that happens. You can go look at the Tennessee offensive lineman that happened and the Chiefs took him and now he's like a freaking Pro Bowler. I mean, people will fall sometimes due to injury. And at the end of the day, you just got to be willing to take a risk. I'm telling you, Eric All in a Mike McDaniel offense would be freaking nasty. He would be nasty. Check out his highlights. You'll see what I'm saying. Please, Dolphins administration, if you hear this, don't listen to me.
Dame, I got a quick question for you. It's funny enough that you mentioned that you were a Bills fan and you mentioned that you hold Frazier in high regard. So I want to switch it up just real quickly here. I'm curious to hear your opinion on Frazier and what he can possibly bring to the Dolphins, because I know he's in contention or he's one of the candidates that we're looking at.
Man, I can tell you this, man. He's just a great human. Everyone loved him. Everybody loves him in his thing. Sometimes he's conservative, which I'm not a big fan of conservativeness, especially. But I don't know if that was him or if that was Sean McDermott overruling, because McDermott's a defensive-minded coach too. And obviously something happened to where there was a miscue. And I wouldn't doubt it that it was that 13 seconds that everybody remembers and dreads. But they played too soft a defense. They were playing prevent in that. And I think that was – Leslie Frazier will get blamed for it, but I'm not sure he was proud of that or wanted to do that. So there's some times where there will be a blitz and it would just be like so weird. Like if you're watching the game, you would see a blitz just so random. You'd be like, why the hell are they blitzing? And they would hit a long play. And then they did that in that 13 seconds where they hit Kelsey on a huge play. And at the end of the day, you're sitting there asking yourself, like, why the hell they blitz? We're playing a prevent, but we're blitzing from a prevent. Made no sense. So there was something there. But I can tell you this. When he was there, we didn't have great football players, and our defense was top five every time, every year. The guys, he knows what he's doing. I think he needs to be let go and just let him be him and make his calls. And I'll be honest with you. Look at your defensive coordinator last year. No offense to Vic Fangio. He's a great defensive mind. Those players weren't buying into Vic Fangio's schemes, man. Dude, how can you buy into a scheme when your top two corners were on the field for like freaking probably like 7% of the time together? How's that happen? How much money you guys got dipped into them corners?
A lot.
Almost 40 million. Probably like a high 36, high 35, 36, yeah.
And they're only on the field together for 7% of something's wrong. That's not a player problem. That's a personnel problem. So, listen, man, you have a stacked defense. I'm scared to face you guys every year because you never know what you're going to get with Miami. And if they can just put a couple of the pieces, you guys need a star linebacker, somebody that you can build it around. You need somebody in the middle of the defense. You need an interior lineman. You need several interior linemen. You probably need a left tackle, somebody that you can cement down and say, this is it. He's our guy. Well, maybe it's even a right tackle because Tua is a lefty. So maybe you don't need a left tackle. Maybe you need a right tackle, which you can get in the second round. So if you play that correctly, you can really probably get one of the best right tackles and probably one of the best interior linemen early and then go later in the draft. You said you had fifths. Man, in the fifths, man, take you an Eric All, six, ride out with some interior offensive linemen that have skill sets that you can develop, that have versatility. And then in the seventh, you can play games. You can get anything you want. Take the most elusive weapon out there. You can take whatever. And then in free agency, if you can get done early, you can start making calls. Who the hell don't want to play with Tyreek Hill? You have a great football team all the way around. They're explosive as shit. If I'm an explosive football player, I'm trying to play in Miami. Think about that.
That's fair.
If I'm a 4.240 guy, why the hell wouldn't I want to go play with Tyreek Hill? Who the hell's going to cover us? Right. I'd be like, dog, yeah, I've got an off the field, whatever, but I'm trying to play with Tyreek. Shit, running streaks, ain't nobody can catch you. Tua just got to throw it to the moon. There ain't no corner that can cover that. My safeties are 300 years old, so it ain't going to help. At the end of the day, man, look, man, you guys are in a really good predicament, and you guys are going forward. You guys are tough. And I'm not just sitting here boasting because you're all on here looking at me crazy, because I'm a diehard Buffalo Bill. But I will tell you right now, I respect the shit out of the Dolphins. I respect the shit out of Mike McDaniel. That's a really good football coach.
Facts. I do have a question on the opposite side. Rashard Williams, Texas Tech cornerback, 6'3", about 215. What are your thoughts on him? Where do you see him going in the draft?
Yeah, I think he's a late-round guy, 6'7", potentially undrafted, but he'll be a high-priority free agent if he does. People, that size you can't teach. And, you know, his hip fluidity was good. He gets down low on the ball. Like, he gets down low and he's backpedaling. He's not like – usually tall corners, when they're trying to do cuts and different things, they're too high. He gets down. He can get down. His mobility's well. His length is good. He's got decent arms. And I think he's a really good football player. I think he's probably a late round guy, could blossom in. I think he did get another all-star game as well. He moved up. But sure, he would be a late round guy that would be a great fit for you guys. I can see that.
What was his why so late round? Is it the speed aspect? Is it up there in the mental? Like, why is he projected late?
Well, I just think I think it's a deep class. It's not that it's him per se. I think that there's so much depth there with some of these corners. And here's another thing too, is corners' paychecks are getting so big now. They become a hotter commodity. So I think you'll see a lot more guys get drafted out. Juniors and younger guys are starting to come out because it's they're getting paid. I mean, shit, everybody's getting paid now, but corners are starting to become a priority. If you got $40 million tied up in two corners, it's a lot of money. I mean, you imagine what you could do with, you know, some younger guys, some fresh blood to come in there. But the thing is I think look at what you guys got with a Kader Kohu for damn near nothing. It's finding them late round blossom guys. I think Rashad, I think he's a late round guy. Just it's not that he can't play. It's not that he's just not a first rounder to me. I think if you watch the film, I think you can see he's a late round guy. There's plays that he gets beat. There's plays that he can recover. He's a pretty fluid player. Sometimes that double move will get him. But in the recovery aspect of him trying to get up to that speed, you can't tell how fast he is because you can't put him on a scale. If you're looking at him play a Mitchell from Texas and you're like, well, shit, well, Mitchell's a burner too. So, I mean, you got a burner going up against the guy. You can't really judge that speed as well as you can. If you were to put him up against like a Josh Cephas from a UTSA, you would see that a lot better of see about his speed. So I think it comes down to, that's why these all-star games are so important, because they get to go up against these guys to be able to judge them like, shit, man, he is fast, man. He just went up against Tyreek Hill and ran foot and foot with him. You know what I mean? It kind of shows a different level of speed in the game field, because you're not always facing a number one in a game. Right. So.
Yeah, man, I have a quick question, but I also want to piggyback off what you said. A lot of these cats, kids, they're transfer portal kids, man. So they're picking up the system as they go. So most of these guys you're seeing right now, they transfer once or twice. Like the kid Javon Baker from UCF, Alabama kid. I was gonna ask you, man. I'm having this debate between the Houston tackle Paul and Javon Foster. I love Javon Foster. I think he is a star. I think he's, to me, the best left tackle in the draft that nobody's talking about. I'm a Foster fan, but some people around these parts, like Paul, do you have a preference there?
I would take Javon Foster all day myself. And I just think that his punch and his hands are so much stronger than Paul. Paul's good. He's athletic. He's big. He can move. He struggled a little bit in against some of the faster pass rushers, whereas Javon Foster held his own. I don't think he was the SEC player, the offensive lineman of the week multiple times this year. He's just a big dude. He didn't allow a lot of pass rushes. The kid's a freak. I would much rather take Javon Foster than I would Paul. And that's no offense to Paul. I think he's a great football player. I just think that they're overvaluing him. I think that he's probably a second to third round pick. And I think Foster's probably in that same boat, but I think you'll see Foster slip a little bit further. And I don't know why, but you know, these teams are in a copycat league, bro. I mean, if you go and you look at what it is, they'll find an offensive lineman that was a Korean soccer player. And they'll believe all of a sudden that the Korean soccer player is the new thing. And everyone will bring in the Korean soccer player. So it's just, that's the way it works, unfortunately. But if you watch the film don't lie. And you can see he's going up against better talent every week. And he's stuffing better talent every week. And he's just mean as shit, man. Like, Javon Foster is a mean football player. I like mean offensive linemen. Richie Incognito, that's my type of offensive lineman.
Oh, you're speaking my language. You're speaking my language. Yeah.
Yes, sir. To be honest with you, you guys are going to laugh at me and hear me out on this. There was a kid on Houston that played right tackle. Watch the film of the left tackle and the right tackle. And after you watch three games, tell me which one you like better. And when you call me back and you say, damn, Ruben Anije, or whatever the kid's name is, that kid's mean as shit. And he's driving people into the ground and he's slamming on them. He's swan diving on them. You're going to be like, what in the, how come they're not talking about him? He ends up going to the transfer portal, ends up going to another college. I think he went to Louisville. Watch. Remember what I told you. Everyone will be talking about that kid next year. And he's a right tackle. He is mean as shit. No one talks about him, though. They're talking about Paul.
Damn. Let Wally Wilkins go.
I already have my question. Go ahead, man.
Dame, I'll never forgive this fan base. They treated me like Zach Sealer, and look at the year. I digress. Something a little bit that may be out of your wheelhouse a little bit. Talk to me about fullbacks. It ain't sexy. What are you at? It's not sexy, but what are you at? Talk to me about the fullback position.
Why do you want one?
That's a better question, huh?
Hold up. No. Listen. Why do you want one? I want to hear the response back, and then I'll tell you about my fullback. I want to know first. Hold up.
He wants to find the fan base. That's what he does. Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins. So now he wants to get rid of Ingold. This is insane, French. Wow, French.
Mr. Wilkins, thank you.
Oh, wow.
The reason I asked for a fullback, because I love Ingold. That's my guy. We just gave him a contract. Drop the bag on him. But I yearn for, with this Dolphin offense specifically, the Maulers, the Richie Incognitos, the fullbacks, the dirty tight ends that do the work like the Kittles. When we get back more towards that scheme, and yeah, Engel does that, but I look at December and January, and it's like we got the Bentley Bentayga, and we're driving around all year. But when it gets cold and you need them chains on your tire, you ain't got no chains. The fullback, that interior line. Because specifically me with Miami and where I think, and kind of with Tua and this, you give him the best guard, center, guard. I don't even think really the tackles work. You give him the best guard, center, guard combo with the angle and another foot. Just someone that can – that team becomes unstoppable in the fall. That team, because when you look specifically, when you have to run the ball, we ran the ball, but like you said, there was elements of the run game why McDaniel ain't trust it.
So I'm not going to get into, you know, that's a hug. So when I look and I yearn and I look and we talk about some of these guys.
There has to be a question here. There has to be a question.
I asked about, I want to know about.
Yeah, no, no. That's good. I'll answer still. I will say this, okay? I think the fullback position is disappearing because what they can do. You only have 53 roster spots. And when you start looking down at 53 roster spots and you're holding a guy that's only capable to come in on certain downs to do certain things, and he's not a teams guy and he's not playing every single special teams area, if he's doing that stuff, then amen. Then you got a good player. But to hold, number one, giving him a contract extension, that takes away from money. And I'm not saying Ingold's – he's a great football player. I'm not dogging him by any means. But you do realize there's only like six teams that have a fullback. Right. So it's not many. And I think one of those teams in the Super Bowl, because Kyle Juszczyk is definitely a fullback. He's an H-back. I'm going to give him H-back because he's more of a – he can catch the damn football at the backfield and move the chain. Ingold can do that a little bit as well, but I don't see Ingold as like. I can tell you this: if you're looking for somebody just as a blocker, then get some damn offensive lineman, and you won't have to worry about your fullback.
A fullback question, Frank.
But hold on, is that production from the fullback? Is a lot of that production then just taken up by the tight end and the evolution of the game.
I think that's what it is. Like the tight ends and they become H-backs was essentially, you know, they're kind of marrying the fullback and the tight ends together. So
it's because the size of the guys. So if you take a guy, what we're considering an H-back, we'll take Julian Hill, for example. Julian Hill is a 6'3", 6'4" guy. He's not a 6'6" tight end that can spread the field, but he's more of a 6'3", 6'4" H-back. He can catch the ball at the backfield. He's got hands, but he can block, and he's a high-level blocker. So technically you have another fullback on your roster. So when you're putting him out at tight end, whether you keep him in line or splitting him out, you basically potentially have another blocker out there. The thing is, if you're looking to add more, I would say no, because that's a waste of – you might as well add two punters then.
Correct.
What are your thoughts on Jaheim Bell out of Florida State? I think he can maybe be like in that Charles Clay type role. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, absolutely. So like he is more of a H-back.
Right.
He's a lot better pass catcher than he is a blocker. So if you bring him in, then sure, he can split them. He can make the middle of the field hell for your opponents. You know what I'm saying? Because he can get down. He can hit that seam. He can get a nice ball down there and tear it up. But, like, you guys are missing, in my opinion, you're missing a tight end that can get the first down. Correct. You're missing somebody that can spread the field. The hell with – if you got Tyreek and Jalen Waddle running crossings, and you got someone running straight down the middle of the football field, there's nobody that can cover that.
Thank you.
If Tua can make the read, he has two options coming across. He can go over here. He can go over here. He can go right down the pipe. And what the safety has to do is the safety has to figure out where to go. If the safeties are playing too high and they got two crossings, they got to be aware of their surroundings. They got areas that they have to cover. Now you just open up the middle of the field with a tight end, you're going to shred people. You don't need a tight end that's just getting 3 yards. You need a tight end that's going to get you 15, 20 yards.
Yeah.
And Gesicki back in the day when they threw him the damn football.
So who's a Kittle type in from the Hula Bowl or – in general, prospects coming out, in your opinion,
honestly, the Hall kid, that kid he's talking about, the Iowa kid, because I was watching the I forgot his name, Sinet. He was dropping passes. The TCU kid was dropping
passes. Ben Sinet, yeah, Jared Wiley.
Jared Wiley dropping passes. I'm not really too sold on the actual guys that are out here. Outside of Bowers, like, tight end class is really weak, except that guy.
Sanders, Jake Sanders from Texas. He's okay.
Yeah, he said, Wally said it best. Weak is like an understatement. This tight end class sucks. Yeah. But I mean, it's bad. So, like, I wouldn't be looking on nobody for future, long term. I mean, there's a couple dudes. Like he said, Brock Bowers is definitely number one. Outside of him, the next one's probably a couple rounds away. I'll give you a guy, though. check out this kid. He didn't play in my game. I invited him. He didn't come. There's a kid that played at Colorado State by the name of Dallin Holker.
I've heard that name on this podcast before.
Yes.
Hey, that white boy is serious. Go check him out. Pull up. You just got to watch one game. Go pull up the Colorado game. That's it. Dion.
He gives me Shockey vibes.
I'm not saying he's Jeremy Shockey, but he gives me Shockey vibes when I watch him as a UN. I see that hair flowing and that him with that run after the catch ability. It's rare, man.
Chad, that third down play against Colorado, they looked for him. He caught it. What a pass interference. My dude is nasty. Shout out to you, Chad. Yeah. That kid's nasty, man. That kid go home. I like him.
Now that's a good prospect, man. I would take him. He's a sleeper for me. He's nice. I like him. I like Eric All, but I like that kid a lot. So I think, listen, man, there's a lot of great prospects in this draft. I just don't think there's a lot of. I think a lot of people are going to get overhyped in some of these draft picks, and you're going to have a lot of busts. But I think there's not many good quarterbacks. I'm not really sold on the quarterback class. I'm not sold on the tight end class. The linebackers are deep. Corners are not, they're good. They're not great, but you'll see that. Running backs, there's a lot of depth, but running backs are like dime a dozen now.
Who would you say is the best group to you?
The offensive line, man.
Offensive line is very deep. You're going to see a lot of offensive linemen draft this year. But I'll tell you, I think the wide receiver groups is pretty nasty. There's a lot of good wideouts.
Very deep talent. The Rice kid, McCaffrey, and Sidney Rice, Jerry Rice kid. They're both showing up in the Eastern Shrine. The Leggett kid from South Carolina.
Malachi Corley. We're high on Corley. Yeah, he's a bro. That's 5'10", 215.
Trash. That kid trash. I think he's from Louisville.
Yep. Jamari.
Yeah, Persaw from Florida. He was out there running routes really well. McConkey, some slot type guys that we like. Thomas from LSU, bro. There's some really good guys, and it's deep, man. It's good all the way through. Johnny Wilson from Florida State. You see him as more as a tight end or a wide receiver?
Who's that?
Johnny Wilson from Florida State.
That boy's 6'7". A wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, don't stop him from trying to do that. He's not going to get a lot of separation, but Mike Evans doesn't get a lot of separation either. He can catch the ball. He can high point the ball. Yeah.
Dave, quick question. I don't know how much more time you got, but I got a question for you real quick.
Yeah.
You're going to skip my question. I was.
No. Hold on, man. You guys been having all the fun. Let me at least get one in here.
Yeah, Coach Mike needs one, man.
Exactly, bro. I'm an observant guy, but I like to spew some knowledge every once in a while. So my question is, we have the number our first round pick is number 21. Considering you're a rival of ours, you're a fan of the Bills, you're a rival, and you're very familiar with the landscape and all the prospects and all that. Where would you invest if you were Chris Greer, GM for the Dolphins, where would you go first with that number 21 pick?
You guys are gonna think I'm crazy, right? But I'm trading down.
No, we're not.
You're not crazy at all. We all think that.
I'm trading back, and I'm gonna tell you why I'm trading back. I'm trading back because somebody's going to want to come up to get a quarterback. Somebody's going to want to come up to do something. The price is there. You're before other teams that really technically need somebody. You don't need anybody really need to where you have to invest a first round pick. You made it deep. You guys should have been the 2 seed. Who the hell are we playing? Right. You guys should have been, if you didn't have injuries, you probably would have been. So with that being said, what do you really need? Right. And I think that, is your need really necessary to take a player at 21 when you can get something for the future later on? And if it's me and I'm Chris Greer, I'm trying to take the highest bidder, and I'm going to listen. I'm coming back. And if I can get in the beginning of the second round and one of those teams wants to trade up to come up and get somebody, I'm doing it. And maybe that's something that I work out early like, hey, look, if we're on the clock and you guys are looking for XYZ, maybe it's a wide receiver that someone's trading up for. Maybe it's a Brian Thomas, or maybe it's somebody, a Leggett, or somebody, the kid from Florida State, Keon Coleman, someone that wants to trade up for a wide receiver, a high prospect guy, maybe to go along with that quarterback they took in round one, or you know what I'm saying? Then you trade back and you get the value and collect the picks. Me personally, I'm trading back if I'm Miami. I'm trying to get into two. I'm trying to pick up a couple extra mid-round picks because you need the depth in the interior line. You guys are technically right now, I think you're scheduled to lose four offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Four starters, correct?
I think it's two main starters.
Technically three with Isaiah Wynn, possibly Connor Williams and Robert Hunt, and then we just got to see what happens with Teron Armstead. He might retire or
Isaiah Wynn, Connor Hunt, and Wynn.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of meat on the offensive line. And are you going to pay them?
No, that's what I'm saying. The best route is trading down. And you see, I've been talking about the depth of all these guys. And you just hit me up with a bunch of new guys, too, that I got to look into right now. Me being the resident online guru. Now I got to do more research. Hey, don't hate, guys. I'm the guru here. It's a lot of talent. If you can pick up a fourth or fifth and come back in the second round, you're cooking with grease, man. You can pick up two guys. I think you can find your center and your guard tackle there in the latter rounds.
Let's be real. Tua's not the biggest stout quarterback. I think it's important for him to have that guard center guard combo that French was referring to. Like, I think that's going to be really important to give him those sight lines and, you know, those passing windows and things that he needs to be successful. Like, he needs to be able to step up in the pocket. So, like, I think that they make a conservative effort to bring back Robert Hunt or Connor Williams, at least to try to soften the blow, because I don't think you can lose 3 to 4 offensive linemen, bro. Like, that's a lot.
At least at the very least one.
You got to bring back somebody.
I personally, I would go out right now. I would sign Lyle Collins, who's just sitting on the street. I would bring him in. I'd let him come in and compete. I would do that right now. I feel like he was probably a third, fourth round talent type of football player that's just sitting on the street right now with no job. I'd bring him in, let him compete on the 90 and let him see what he can do. I think he would be a free one that would potentially could come in and plug and play and start. And I mean, he was a starter in the league already. I mean, I would have to be a guy that I would bring in right now because he's still kind of young. That'd be a guy just on the street that's just sitting out there. If I'm the Dolphins GM, I'm signing him tomorrow. And I'm bringing him in for a physical to see what he's up to. And if he's good, I'm signing him. It just doesn't make any sense. He's still in the prime of his years, like where a normal tackle would be amazing. I'd bring him in right now. So that'd be me. But I'm just throwing that out there. That's just, you know, from watching football my entire life and just seeing a player like him of his caliber, I feel like he would definitely be a guy for the Dolphins to just stash and try to see what you have. What the hell do you have to lose? He's a 90-man guy. You can cut him tomorrow, and it ain't going to matter.
Yeah, I know when he was coming out of the draft, when he wasn't drafted, it was between us and Dallas. He ended up going to Dallas.
Yep. So, and a football player not getting taxed like that in Florida, I'm going to Miami. I would do it. I mean, what the hell do you have to lose? You can block. I mean, potentially start for the Dolphins. Because, I mean, I think your guys' line is garbage, bro. I mean, that's just me talking from the outside. I mean, you need like four or five guys. And maybe that's something that you do in free agency. You just go ham and get some guys. But you need it. They need it. You got to protect Tua. He's had too many concussions. If that dude ends up with another one, the hell you gonna? What if you would have got that far in the playoffs and Tua would have went down? Who's your backup? What's your option?
Yeah, Mike White.
And I know you guys like him, but that ain't it. He ain't beating Mahomes.
You're not far. You're not far off. So speaking of quarterback, I'm curious to know what's your opinion or your perspective of Josh Allen. I'm curious because I've heard like mixed things from Bills fans. So I'm trying to, you know.
Well, first off, I was pissed off when the Bills drafted him because I wanted Josh Rosen. So that should tell you a little bit about my drafting knowledge. when it comes to quarterbacks, don't listen to me. But he's growing on me, man. Like, that dude's all about the city of Buffalo. Like, he does everything for the city, man. And like, that's where I'm from. So to see, like, he's invested so much back in the community. Like, he's became the Jim Kelly of the 90s back when I was a kid growing up. Like, listen, I will never say nothing bad. Josh Allen didn't lose us the game. I mean, Josh Allen's not the reason why the Buffalo Bills lost the game to the Chiefs. He's kept us in every game. Let's just show you this stat. Since 2021 midseason, we have not lost a game by more than 6 points.
Wow.
And we've lost a lot of games, but we've never lost more than 6 points. So he has you within a touchdown of every game. How can you not love that guy? Listen, I mean, after being 20 years without getting our butts kicked every single year by Tom Brady,
Rob Johnson days,
it DJ feels good to have a quarterback.
DJ Emmanuel, all of
them. Yeah. JP Lossman, straight garbage, bro.
I'm gonna tell you something. This is recorded, so people can't. I mean, look, we don't. A lot of Dolphin fans don't dislike Josh Allen. We just dislike some Buffalo fans that make us dislike the fandom so bad. Because Josh Allen he's not a bad person. He's a tough ass football player. If you told me you don't want a player like Josh Allen on your team, you don't like football. You know what I mean?
No.
But he's a tough kid. He's a tough kid. He's just not a Dolphin, so we can't. That's as far as it goes.
But I'll bet you this. I bet you would take him as a Dolphin right now.
We need like a slash. You know, he can share some time in the backfield with Tua, bro.
If I didn't have Tua, I think Tua is 1-on-1. But if I didn't have Tua, I'll take Josh Allen. Why not?
Hey, I can tell you this. The coolest thing about Tua is, man, that dude's not afraid to profess his love for Jesus, and I'm a huge fan of that, so that's pretty dope. So I'm a big fan and supporter of him. I'll always be. I tried inviting his brother to the Hula Bowl. I didn't get him, but I did. I invited him first, so.
I'm trying to get him to the – always trying to get him to the Canes, man.
Yeah, I remember that. That's true. All right, Dave. I appreciate your time, man. I know it's Thursday night, and I'm sure you got some other things going on, but we appreciate you coming on and giving us your perspective. We'd love to do this again with you if you're available. It was really fun and very informative, and I'm sure everybody that was watching out there is a little bit smarter today because of the information you brought tonight.
Definitely.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you guys.
Any draft coverage on the website?
So, no. I mean, there is draft coverage on the website, yeah, but like as far as like me sitting there on – the YouTube, I don't have time for that. I mean, I work too much. Hey, look, I wish I could. I might get the picks out. If you guys follow me on Twitter, I mean, you might get the picks before anybody else. But besides that, I don't know. I mean, I got some people that'll be at the draft, so I might get that first. But I mean, besides that, I mean, I work too hard, man. I'm always doing something. But my man over here, Wally's got that Haiti flag, baby. Sock by say, bro.
You see my hey. I got a bunch of flags out here. I'm up here, man.
You got four Haitians and a Cuban in here, man. So.
Yeah. Well, now you got a white boy in the brotherhood, huh?
Let's go.
Hey, man. That's all love, man. It's all love.
Hey, look, man. You know what? I've lived in Florida for a long time, man. So I love Florida. I live in near Orlando. So you ever heard of the Villages, the retirement place?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's French's stomping grounds up there in Orlando.
That's where you at,
French? Yeah. French is still mad. French is still mad. He's like, damn, he talked bad about fullbacks, bro.
You want that?
He's hiding now, man. That's hard to do. I'll tell you that.
Hey,
man, look at him like, yo, man, really? That's a stupid question.
Look at him.
There you go.
He looks like the guy.
You know why? They kind of tried to pick up the fan base. Listen, I'm going to give you the backstory. They told me I tried to break up the fan base when I told them I was riding with Sealer. They wanted to give Wilkins $25 million for the same thing Sealer did for 10. Chris Grizz a bad GM. Make it make sense.
Oh, God.
I just want to understand why I can't see him in the screen. It's a good thing.
Hey, you know what? Hey, guys, I'm going to end on this note, right? I'm going to end on this note for Frenchie. Give me some damn dogs.
Hey, the facts, man. That's the best thing I heard all night, man.
Well, I appreciate you guys, man.
I appreciate you, man. Good luck to you and all your success at the Hula Bowl. We're going to look forward to all the prospects coming out, and hopefully they have a bunch of success. Man, you guys can continue pumping in that talent and pumping them out, man. Appreciate you and all the work that you do over there, man. Good stuff.
Hey, real quick before I leave. So next year in the Hula Bowl, I'm expecting y'all to help me get the word out since we're in Florida. So I'm going to give y'all tickets, all of y'all getting tickets on me. Your viewers, if they want tickets, we'll get them tickets. We'll give you tickets that they can give away. But I need some people. So I need Frenchie to bring all his people from Orlando out, because we in Orlando. We need this damn thing supported. So, Frenchie, I'm expecting you to have some friends. Don't yell at them and tell them you need dogs. But bring them over to the Hula Bowl, all right, because I need some people over there. And I need to, yeah, so I'm gonna hook y'all up, man. We'll do it. And I appreciate you guys, man.
It's like one or two sideline passes, bro. That'll work, you know.
Come on, man.
Boots on the ground, man. Come on.
But you gotta be yelling at the Georgia fans, at the Georgia dudes.
Hey, yo.
Where the dogs at? I'm
gonna get a t-shirt that says online guru is on and popping.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man.
We'll be in touch. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you. Yeah, man. Take care, guys. All right.
Have a good night.
Yes, sir.